This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self. Welcome, sisters, to another Sistership Circle podcast. I'm Tanya Lynn, and I'm so excited for this conversation today with the incredible Sarah Jenks, who is the founder of Whole Woman, a monthly online membership for women seeking the answers to who am I and why am I here, and the Live More, Weigh Less, which is a popular online emotional eating program. Between her online programs and as proprietress of Hawthorne Farm, her 23-acre retreat center in Massachusetts, my goodness, Sarah holds sacred space to empower women and support them in finding their magic and rediscovering their most authentic selves. Since 2009, Sarah's community of women seeking a fuller, more meaningful life has grown to almost 100,000 members. Incredible. And you can learn more at sarahjenks.com. So welcome, Sarah. I'm super excited to have you
on. Oh, thank you, Tanya, so much for having me. I'm so grateful to be here. And in the like guise of being real, my nanny just sent me a text message asking if she should feed the baby. And I'm just going to tell her yes.
Of course you should.
She said, I get it. Should nurse her or not. if I wanted to nurse her or not.
Mm. And so how old is your baby? This is number three.
This is number three. So she's 4.5 months old. So she's still like a little peanut. And it's one of the great joys of having my own business is being able to, you know, come work in my office and then go home and be with her. And you know, when she needs to eat, or I feel like I just want to have some extra cuddles. And it's been really nice to sort of craft my own situation that works for me.
You know, what's funny is we're going to just dive into this whole motherhood thing because it's, yeah, you know, real for me too. Mine is, I hear, just got back with my nanny, almost 15 months. Aww. And yeah. You know, as so many women are so afraid of having babies, you know, if they're entrepreneurs, because they feel like they can't have both.
Yeah.
And I think you have obviously embraced that with number three. So I'd love for, let's just start there of kind of debunking that myth, because like you said, you have so much more freedom when you're an entrepreneur to be a mother, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How's this been for you?
So something that I talk about a lot in Whole Woman is not feeling like we have to just fit into certain boxes. So when I became a mom, I felt like I was told that I could either be a stay-at-home mom and be a great mom and completely lose myself and everything that's ever meant something to me, or I could be a working mom and I would inevitably have a terrible relationship with my children. And that felt like such a hard, sad choice for me. And so what ended up happening was I had to work because my husband was in residency, his surgical residency. So I didn't have a choice. I was the breadwinner, and I was, my first two were 18 months apart. So I got pregnant with my second when my first was 9 months old. So that was incredibly hard for me. So I felt this pressure to work, this pressure to make money. And at the same time, I was constantly feeling like, I wish I could just be home with my kids. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was, is our nanny quit and my business was in a place where I had a bunch of savings. And so I spent some time, I was home full time for many months and I hated it. It was really not for me. And so I said, okay, well, I don't feel like I have to make a choice here. Work over kids, kids over work. Where is this going to be? Like, what do I really want? How much work do I really want to do? How much mothering do I really want to do? Like, what's going to work for me? Not this like black and white fit into a box brainwashing that we've all been taught. So when I actually thought about this is my ideal and I executed on that, which took some time, you know, because I had big dreams and situations and I needed to have more money in order to figure that out or a different team. And so it was a work in progress. But what ended up happening was, is I created the situation that is really great for me. And it's always changing, but I'm always trying to be willing to work with it. So like right now, what's working for me is I have my older two kids in full-time daycare. They love it. It's perfect for them. It's next door, which is so nice. And then I have a nanny for my baby who also helps me with the house and also happens to be a woman who's constantly cheering me on as a woman, which is so nice. And I'm able to sort of go back and forth with Hazel. So it's been really great. But I think the reason why women are really scared to have kids when they're entrepreneurs is because I think that often when we're entrepreneurs, there's a culture around really hustling super hard in a way that maybe isn't healthy. And I know for me, before I had my kids, my work was everything to me. And, you know, I'd start working at, you know, 7 o'clock when I woke up and it's like, I'm in bed doing all the things and then I'm working all day. And then I'm maybe turning off my computer at 6:30 and I can just collapse in front of the TV. So yeah, you can't have kids when that is your model, but is that really the model that's healthy for us? Like for me, no, that was not healthy for me, but I've really had to grieve that ability to completely shut out every single other thing in my life in order to give everything to launching a program or doing, you know, bringing a new program into the world. So I found for me that having kids does fit into a healthy relationship with my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say I have a very similar experience as you. Yeah. And I think becoming a mother has made me a better entrepreneur, a more efficient, and definitely more of a work-life balance.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. For my husband, too. It's funny. We were actually talking about that, how when he met me, he had no work-life balance at all. And now he's great. We're like, yeah, that's one of your biggest growth points in our relationship. It was just him, like,
that's
really
so awesome.
Balancing it all. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah,
so they bring so much magic to us in such unexpected ways, right?
It's so true. It is so true.
yeah. So one of the things that I love that you are doing is around the elements and getting in touch with nature. And so I'd love for you to share a little bit about how you have incorporated the elements into your work in life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a very ambitious person. And what will often happen is I will get, like this happened to me about a month ago. I get so focused on a work project and all of a sudden it starts to feel hard and I start to feel anxious. And then what happens, I feel like, oh, something's wrong with work. And so I just continue to stay focused on work. Or something that will happen is, you know, one of my kids will be like having a problem, like whether my oldest son is just having meltdowns constantly. And I get so fixated on him and I feel like I can't do anything else. Mm. So this of course can happen where we get really myopic when there's a trauma or something like absolutely crazy happens. We have to go in survival mode. But what happens is that I found that even in my day-to-day life, I felt like I was always in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And you know, why was that happening? And I feel like there's this belief system that we have to, in order to be successful in something, we have to give up everything else in order for that one thing to be successful. I also felt when I became a mother that as soon as I became a mom, then I had to kill off my sensual self. I was no longer allowed to be a sexual being. I was no longer allowed to be a successful businesswoman. I was no longer allowed to take time to take care of my body or nurture my spiritual practice. All of that stuff was now selfish. And it was in opposition to the success of my children. But this is a huge paradox, because what will happen is, if with our best intentions, we give everything to our kids, this is just an example, we can replace this with anything in our life. We give everything to our kids, and then we get so exhausted, we get so burnt out, and then we get resentful of them for taking all of our energy and taking all of our life force. And then that really hurts them. So the thing that we're trying to do with our best intentions is actually the thing that's hurting them the most. So what does this have to do with the elements? So when I found myself in this pattern, I was feeling so much anxiety, so much frustration. And my practice is to use the earth as a teacher. And so I would sit and I would look outside and I would say, okay, so what am I meant to learn today? And what I got was, the earth is built on these four elements: earth, air, fire, and water. These are the elements that we also call in when we're opening a sacred circle in the witchcraft tradition or from the old religion. But just from a biological perspective, you know, like a tree, an animal, a human, a plant, they all need these four elements to survive. So why is it in our emotional self and our beings as humans that we aren't thinking that we need all these elements to survive? And it's not just about how to have our bodies be alive, but when you look at the sacred energy of elements, we know that the earth is like our bodies, and the air is like our minds and our work in the world, that our fire is our sensuality and our spiritual practice and our wildness as women. And water is our emotional self, our relationships, our marriage, our friendships, our relationship with our children. And so our mother, so from there we know, like, okay, so motherhood is only gonna be as connected and authentic as our spiritual practice. Motherhood is only going to be as strong as the health of our bodies. You know, our work in the world is only going to be as impactful as the impact we're having in our relationships, right? Our work is only going to be as dialed in as we are dialed into spirit. Our work is only going to be as healthy as our body is healthy. So it's an all ships rise model instead of a give and take. And I mean, you explained this so beautifully when you're talking about your husband. It's like, when we add in something that is positive, like a child, and if we're conscious of growing and being in balance and thinking about all parts of ourselves and not killing off parts, then we grow and expand as human beings. And it's a really, I found it's a really powerful reframe. So in practice, if I'm feeling really, really stressed out with work, instead of just fixating on work, I have to look, okay, what's my spiritual practice like right now? Terrible, you know? And so this is what happened like a month ago. And so I had to sit and really, you know, rededicate myself to my morning ritual. What's happening with my body? Oh, I haven't moved my body in 2 weeks. Okay, Sarah, that's a problem. So let's move the body. It wasn't about work. It was that the rest of me was suffering and I needed to nurture and nourish those other areas in order to become whole.
Oh, I love that. Love that so much. And I think this is something I'm even sharing when women are trying to fill their circles. And it's like, most of the time it has nothing to do with that action itself. It's like, what else is out? So I love that with the elements and just how you put together that system is so great. And it's so true. You know, most of the time we think that the problem's over here, but we're actually missing what it really is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Powerful. So you mentioned, the old religion.
Yeah.
Witchcraft. And I know that you've been doing a lot of work of, you know, diving deep into sacred ritual. And can you share a little bit about your path of holding sacred space and just doing ritual and working with, you know, the moons and.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I started working with Elaine Kalila Dowdy, our shared teacher and mentor, in 2011. And I hired her to be my therapist, my just like traditional run-of-the-mill weekly therapist. I thought she lived in San Diego. Turned out she lived down the street from me in San Francisco. So I would go to her house every Tuesday. And after a couple months, I walked in and there were 13 purple pillows on the floor. And a picture of some woman that looked pretty cool to me, and just the faint smell of incense in the air and candles that were burned down. And I walked in and I got goosebumps all over my whole body. And I just said, what happened here? And she said, oh, well, you know, and in her cute British accent, she's like, oh, that's nothing. And I'm like, oh, no, really, what happened here? She goes, oh, you're interested. Like, she was testing me to see what was going on. So I pestered her about it for about a year. And finally, she said, okay, I think you're ready. And we called a circle together. And there's this beautiful mystery school called the 13 Moon Mystery School, which I know you know, but I'm telling everyone here. And it's a mystery school where we uncover the practices of the divine feminine. It's an Avalonian lineage, and which means like from the Celtic background. And so we would create these temple spaces that were, if we were doing a temple to one of the divine feminine archetypes, the Great Mother, the entire room is draped in red velvet. There are pictures of the Great Mother and all of her faces all over the room. There's candles and red roses. And we're there to really experience, have a full body experience of her medicine. So I spent 5 years really learning and honing and immersing myself in these 13 feminine archetypes, like the High Priestess, the Wise Woman, the Primal Goddess, Goddess of Love. And it was the most profound experience of my life. And when we would be in temple, I would have these just very clear visions of circling with women in the woods in New England. Almost every single time, whether it was a past life memory or a future memory, I do not know, but it was just in my bones, you know, it was in my system. And so finally, you know, Kalila she leaned over to me one time and she just said, so Sarah, like, when are you gonna start holding a sacred container? Because at the time I was doing all emotional eating stuff. And I said, I don't know, maybe never. She's like, Sarah, this is so your thing, you know, why are you hiding who you are? And I realized that I totally was. And I went through this whole process of really uncovering who I am. And I wrote this vision that in 5 years from when I wrote the vision, this was like 2 years ago, I would have this place in New England where I could live out these memories that I was seeing in temple, and that women could gather and we could circle in the woods under the full moon, that we could be in the fields together, that I would have a hut that we could gather and share wisdom and have women's circles and really be one of the people that's helping bring the divine feminine to New England, because I felt like it was pretty alive and well in San Francisco where I lived, and it's here, but it just isn't so worked into the everyday culture like it is on the West Coast. And I wanted to help. So I was like, okay, great. I'll buy a little house and we will have another baby and lay low for a while, save our money and maybe find this place. And then 2 weeks later, the place shows up online, and it is exactly what I had put in my vision, down to this beautiful round separate building on the property that we can sit pretty large groups of women in a circle. It's this beautiful circular temple building. And there's a lake and there's 10 acres of forest and there's, you know, 10 acres of open fields and we have a beautiful home. And it was crazy. And it was like, I was being so clearly asked by the goddess, you said you were going to do this. Are you sure? Or like, are you serious? Because if you're serious, you're going to have to put up a lot of money and you're going to go over a lot of obstacles to get this place. And so it was a big part of it. It was a big initiation for me. And I had to really tune out all of the voices that were in my head and also coming from other people that this was a bad idea, that this wasn't safe, this was too much work, it was too much money, all true. And choose my inner voice that said, this is what I meant to do. And so we moved to Hawthorne Farm about a little over a year ago. And I hosted my first full moon circle, and I used a lot of the sacred technologies that I've learned from Kalila and also experienced through other teachers in my life and reading a lot about what I call the old religion, which is basically the indigenous practices of Western Europe. So pre-colonization, pre-Bronze Age, you know, back in a time when people worshipped the great goddess, the mother of life, and all their holidays were around the wheel of the year, and just this this beautiful divine connection with the land. And so learning about that and learning about all these sacred technologies from Kalila about focalizing and holding space, I wanted to create a container where women to sort of come and experience the divine feminine for the first time. A lot of them are coming and this is like so weird for them. And so many people told me, no one's going to want to go to that. It's going to be so weird. You know, it's going to take you a while to build it up. And I put something out and, you know, we had 75 people come. We could barely fit in the room. And it's been just so beautiful to see how accepted it's been and how women are hungry for it. And it's been such an honor for me to hold the space and to be the person who can introduce it to these women.
Wow. What an inspiring goosebump story. I mean, I'm sure everyone listening to this is really inspired. And I think I'm really speaking to a core issue that so many women at Sistership Circle experience, and that is that fear of coming out and being called woo-woo. And, you know, and you're just dispelling so many of the myths that women have around, you know, like, oh, I live in this town where the goddess isn't accepted, and how do I come out and how do I talk about this? And you know, and it's just got to do it, right? But I'd love for you to kind of speak into that of, you know, you had to kind of block all that out, listen to yourself, trust, 75 women showed up. I mean, literally, like, this is what's possible, women. Oh. I really want to, like,
So here's the thing. I texted this to my friend yesterday. One of my dear friends just put out her astrology book and she had so much interest, way more than she anticipated. And she put it out to editors. So what I said to her was, the goddess is assembling her army. Because the divine feminine is meant to come back and be woven into our everyday culture. Like, if you look on Instagram, this might just be my Instagram. Check me, Tanya, if this is not true for you. But I feel like everyone knows when Mercury's in retrograde.
Now. Everyone.
Everyone's like, yeah, tarot, I know what that is. Like, people are like, yeah, I've got a sage bundle on my coffee table. You know, these, and of course, like, we all have to be careful of cultural appropriation. However, what I think is important for us to see is that the divine feminine is coming back. And what that means, because we all hear this, what this means to me is we are starting to understand that there is a feminine energy on this planet that is important to honor, and that women and what we have that's different than a masculine energy is important to honor. And we need to understand that we are built differently than men. And when we can own that and harness that power, then what we are capable of is insane. And I feel like I always think about this house as an example, because my husband was always like, you did this so by yourself. He's like, I so see that this was just 100% magic, and I am here to hold the logistics. And thank God. It was like such a beautiful masculine feminine balance that we had when we were buying this house. But anyways, I think it's so important for all of us to know that we are in a time where we are going through an awakening. We are on the cusp. So we are all being supported in coming out of the broom closet. So it's like in the water is basically what I want to say. And so what happens is what I sort of think about it, where women, we all have this internal soul truth, and then we have the disguise that we wear. And even though all of our internal soul truths are different, when I'm walking around without my disguise, so when I'm walking around, even if it's just dressed in a way that I'm comfortable with my internal soul truth. So it's like, I'm going to the grocery store in my town in my like indigo jumpsuit and feather earrings and no bra in the summertime. I am like the only person dressed like that here. And people can say, oh, I see her with her soul truth on the outside of her body. And so that gives me permission to communicate with her from my soul truth. Does that make sense? And so what happens is, like, basically by me not being in a disguise, whether it's what I'm wearing or what I'm saying at a dinner party, people are like, oh, I recognize that as a deeper part of myself. And so I'm going to let that deep part of myself come out. So what happens to me is, like, I'll be at a party with, you know, 60, what we'll call like normal people, even though like I don't like making the normal versus woo-woo, and I'll just throw in, it's like, yeah, well, in my tarot card reading that I was doing this morning, and they're like, oh, like I also did a tarot card reading this morning. And like their best friend sitting next to them is like, you do? I didn't know that. She's like, oh, well, you know, I just don't always talk about it. But I'm like, there's nothing to hide here. Like, let's just talk about it. And the more people that do that, the more they'll discover the person who they thought was going to be not into this stuff totally is. And it's just like, yep. Not a big deal.
It's just not a big deal. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Ah, so good. Well, a couple things. One is, ever since going to Elaine's property up north, and I came back and I was like, and now talking to you, I'm like, this is one of my things as well of, I want to buy property.
Yeah.
I want to do it here in San Diego. And my husband's like, hell no, I'm not leaving the coast. You know, we're a mile from the beach. And I'm like, oh, but I think I have to do this, you know, and I'm really, really feeling called, and I'm feeling like it's coming soon. And I'm like, oh, how am I going to really navigate this with the husband who's like, very stubbornly, I'm not leaving the coast, you know? So I can really relate with what you're saying. It's also giving me some inspiration right now. So thank you for that.
There's always a sacred third. There's always a win-win. Especially when we're married to our soulmates, there's always a win-win. It's not always comfortable, you know, but I love the story where when I was 35 weeks pregnant with my first child, I told Jonathan that I wanted to have a home birth. He's a surgeon. I'm not in his realm of possibility.
Yeah.
He said, I'm like, I want to have the conversation with you, but I just know deep down, like, this is my truth. This is so what I deeply need. And he was just like, oh, fuck. Okay. What are, like, let's figure this out. And we went to a lot of therapy about it. We talked to a lot of professionals. Anyways, we didn't end up having him at home. We planned on having him at home. We had to go to the hospital anyway. Mm. But through this whole process, what happened was Jonathan realized, oh, if this thing that is so medical, I thought was so medical, is actually so spiritual and beautiful and can just be done at home, what does that mean about my medicine and about urology? And so then Jonathan was like, oh, there's this whole emotional component to urology. Like, I mean, he takes care of penises for a living. Of course there's an emotional component, but no one is talking about that. So he ended up doing a fellowship in integrative medicine and studying mindfulness. And now he's working towards bringing like a totally new perspective to men's health. And it was in him. It would have happened eventually, but it just so happened that me asking for a home birth really initially like sparked that fire in him, even though he was so against it in the beginning. So that's just for me to say, like, we're all part of a system. And I just never believe that like our truth is actually going to hurt someone who we love so much.
Yeah. Mm, that was so good. And so good for him too, right? Like that.
Yeah, totally.
You got that. Ah, wow. Yeah. Beautiful. One of the things you said was, you know, about embracing all of these parts of ourselves. And this is really truly what it means to be the whole woman. Mm-hmm. And that is the work that you're doing. And I love to talk a little bit about imperfection.
Oh,
yeah. Came onto this call and you said, I'm not wearing makeup. And I said, hallelujah. You know, it's all good. Come as you are.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about at Sistership Circle. And so you said, you know, you're doing the like this whole new layer of diving into imperfection and authenticity.
Yeah.
And it seems to be the theme of our call today. But share a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So when I came back to work after having Hazel, I sort of came back in and I thought I was just going to jump in like where I left off when I went on maternity leave. And I was like, well, you know, I was doing this work. I already had two kids. Like now I only have three. Like it wasn't like I was going from not being a mom to being a mom. But what I realized was, I was like, I am a completely different person after having a third child. You know, we are different after every birth. And also, whether or not we have kids, women are changing all the time. We're different every year. We're different in every phase. We are different than we were 3 days ago, right? Because we're connected to the moon. So what I realized was, okay, the way I was doing things before isn't going to work for me now. But like, what is the thing that I need to let go of? And I realized that I was just trying so hard to be a big deal, like all the time. I'm like, I'm going to be a big deal. I'm going to be so successful. You know, Holman is going to be huge. I'm going to change the face of like sacredness on the internet. I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, I didn't recognize the pressure I was putting on myself to like reach a certain level of success. So I just said, you know what? I feel like pretty clear that I'm going to be a big deal someday. It's probably not going to look the way I think about it right now, but I know that I'm going to have everything I've ever dreamed of. And that's not going to happen today. It's just not going to happen today. And today I choose to be mediocre. Today I choose to be messy. Today I choose to let things go. And when I claimed that, it felt so good. And then I had to actually live it. And that was so painful, because I would get an idea that was such a good idea and like maybe could have made me a lot more money, but I didn't have the energy to execute on it because I have a 4.5-month-old baby, and that's okay. And so there's been so many things where like, I'm not going to do that right now. And that hurts me because, I mean, it doesn't actually hurt me, but it's like, it gets me because I'm so used to executing on every single idea that I have. And I pride myself on being someone that just figures it out and throws it all against the wall, and all that stuff. And I'm just not going to do it anymore. So a couple days ago, I had a full moon workshop that I led and the kids were going bananas. Jonathan was really stressed out. Hazel, we didn't know it at the time, was sick and crying the entire time. And I sat down at the workshop and I just said, Hazel's crying. Things are kind of a mess. I'm gonna do the best I can. And I did the workshop. It was really not my best work. I felt pretty disorganized. Things weren't flowing. Usually when I'm in those situations, I am my best self. I feel so on. I feel really open. And this was not one of those nights. And I turned off the computer and I just started bawling because I felt so embarrassed and vulnerable. And all of my inner perfectionism things, all of my people-pleasing tendencies that I have with my family and my marriage, everything was triggered. And it was so painful. And I said, I know there's a lesson here, but I just don't know what it is. I was so in it. And so the next day, I texted my crew, like my sister crew. And I said, guys, this, like, I just totally bombed. I feel awful. I feel like I don't want to get out of bed this morning. I just feel embarrassed. You know, it was that covers over the head. And they said, the most beautiful things, like, maybe, what if that was perfect? What if you were meant to be imperfect? What if things were meant to be a mess? And I said, oh my gosh, literally 2 weeks ago, I said that today was not the day. Today is not the time to be perfect. And I just learned the lesson, but I had to actually go through the experience. Cause it's like, I always want to say, oh, I don't want to be perfect, but I actually want things to feel perfect, you know, in my, all of my experiences. And so I really had to sit with, that was hard. And that's okay. And I'm not going to die. Mm. So I'm in that lesson right now. Big time. Mm. Okay. But it feels good. Feels good to let it go.
I can relate. And I remember when Summer was about 4 months old and I was getting ready for a launch and on the bathroom floor and was like, I can't do this. And it was devastating. It was like, you know, knife to the heart. Oh my God. Like, what am I going to do? Not launching this pro, you know? And it was like, I ended up pushing it back like a couple months and it was okay. And it turned out being better, you know, but, yeah, it's so hard when we're these overachieving, ambitious women and, you know, we're so good at making things happen. And then the universe is like, not right now, you know? And I can really relate.
And here's the thing. It's all okay because it's just a phase.
Yes.
Just like the moon is always changing phases. So are we. It's just a phase.
Yes.
And it's important. It's important. Like, I am so getting that I am learning some very important lessons right now. So it may not look like I'm like giving it my all with, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But in terms of my growth as a human, there is a lot of good stuff happening.
Yeah. That's going to be just so beneficial to everything that you're doing down the line. So,
I mean, this is what happens when we're in personal development is that,
yeah.
I don't know if you feel this, but it's like every time I launch a program, I have to learn this big life lesson. And it's kind of annoying. I'm like, can't I just use the program and then learn the life lesson? Like, does this always have to happen together?
Yep. It's like, I've done this launch like how many times? Why is this one so much harder? That's what I just went through with mine. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, oh my goodness, when is this ever going to end? And I'm like, well, you know, when you stop resisting it, it won't be so difficult, you know, just surrender to it.
I know.
So let's talk about your program.
Oh, great. I'd love to.
The Whole Woman. And I love just everything that you're standing for with teaching women to just embrace all parts. So important. It's so much what we're standing for here at Sistership Circle. So tell us a little bit about it.
So it's a moonly membership. So we start with a new lesson every new moon. So we use the wisdom of the moon to help us bring new information, new habits, new point of views into our life. So we operate under three principles. One, that we have been sold all of these boxes of how we're supposed to be and what is the, like, how we're going to be happy. And none of those boxes are real or true. We have to figure out what our own authentic recipe for happiness is. So we spend a lot of time talking about that. Mm-hmm. The second principle is that we are uniquely connected to the seasons, to the moon and the stars and the elements, and we need to embody the wisdom of those things and learn about that. So we talk about that. And the third thing is that we need women in our lives to remind us who we are. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is every new moon, you get a video lesson from me about a certain topic. They build and they're always seasonally appropriate. Mm. So, and what's cool is that we've been doing it for a while now. So if you're in the Southern Hemisphere and it's spring, you can start with the spring content. You don't have to always, we don't all have to be doing the same thing at the same time.
That's great.
And so, but they all build. It's a system that goes into the creative cycle about, you know, growth, connection, releasing, and resting through everything that we do. And it's all around becoming who we are. And then having the community of women to say, I believe in you. I know you can come out of the closet. I'm here cheering you on. I'm out of the closet too. I'm going to hold your hand. This is what happened to me. You know, we can come on the group and say, you know, this crazy thing happened to me. I think I'm going to buy this house. Everyone thinks it's a bad idea. What do you guys think? And everyone's like, you got it. You can do it. You're the best. You know? And because I have those women in my life and I could not survive without them. And a lot of women don't. So I wanted to create a place where we could find our people. And it's also really great is that we have a directory of where people live. So people get together in person a lot. And so it's creating like actual friendship and connections for people, which is so amazing. And we do coaching around the full moon every month. And there's really great core curriculum, and It's just a juicy, super warm, magical place to hang out.
I love it. Yeah. Great. So we have a link to that in the show notes, tiny.cc/Sarah Jenks. And so you can just click on that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Sarah. I'd love for us to end with, if you had the megaphone, we had the megaphone earlier, but if you had for all the ladies, what would you want them to hear in kind of conclusion, some wisdom?
Take a nap. Take a nap. I think we don't rest. Mm. Women do not rest these days. And rest and releasing, especially now, like in this energy of late fall.
Yeah.
We have to listen to the wisdom of late fall. And let things go, cancel things, create space, because if you don't, the universe will do it for you and it's very painful. Mm. So it's really important to be in choice around what you're going to let go of, so things aren't like just ripped from your, you know, clenched fists. And take a rest, bow out, come into that sacred container. Marinate, be in the void so that you can grow later.
Mm. Beautiful. I love that. Thank you everyone for tuning in. And thank you so much, Sarah, for all that you're doing in the world and all that you're creating. It's so beautiful.
Aww, thanks for having me, Tanya. It was such a joy.